Zvachim Perek Zayin Mishnah Dalet 7-4. Now, not all Mishnayos can be easy, and this Mishnah is particularly difficult. So, I'm going to do my best to explain it to you, and Be'ez Hashem, it will be clear to some degree. And if not, probably half my fault for not being clear enough, and half, you just need to revisit this your second time through Shas and work through it in the text inside. It's a challenging Mishnah, okay? The case the Mishnah wants to consider is what happens if you have a bird which was consecrated as an Ola Sa'of, meant to be totally burned, and the Kohen, from the beginning to the end of the process, treats it as a Chata Sa'of. So everyone's going to agree that it was consecrated as an Ola and is treated as a Chata, so it's Pasul. The question is, if one would eat from that meat, from that Pasul Korban meat, would he be liable to Me'ila? Now, you'll recall that an Ola, once consecrated, is subject to Me'ila, and it never can leave that status, because even after it's fully offered, so it still cuts you Hashem to the end, because it's going to be burned on the Mizbeach. A Chata Sa'of, while it starts out having Me'ila, after it's done properly, becomes entirely the food of the Kohen, and therefore no longer subject to Me'ila, because no longer cuts you Hashem, becomes now Kohen food. And if even a non-Kohen would eat it, again, that's not allowed, but he wouldn't be subject to Me'ila, because it's not like Hashem's private property anymore, so to speak. So, our mission is going to say that Rabbi Eliezer says what you'd expect him to say, which is, if you take an Ola and you treat it as a Chatas, it's still an Ola, it's an invalid Ola, it was Kachi Hashem from the moment you declared it as an Ola, it's subject to Me'ila, and nothing changes. Straightforward. Rabbi Yeshua Shita is that the Ola Sa'of, which is treated as a Chatas from the very beginning, is transformed into being a Chatas in some way. And the minimalist approach would be just in enough a way that it's not subject to Me'ila anymore, just as a Chatas, which had been offered properly, would no longer be subject to Me'ila. So to this Ola treated as a Chatas won't be subject to Me'ila, meaning it's still an invalid Ola, invalid offering, but if one would eat it, he wouldn't be subject to Me'ila as if it were a Chatas. Now, you'll ask the question, what in the world? Why should that be the case? There's no other precedent or analog elsewhere in Shas. So Tosfos suggests the following answer. He says that the bird offerings usually come in pairs. Typically, there's an Ola and a Chatas being brought together. Like, say, a woman is a Zava, she has to bring a pair of birds. So one is permitted to consecrate the pair of birds without designating which particular of the two birds is the Ola and which is the Chatas. You're allowed to do that. And then, when the Kohen processes the Chatas, that bird becomes the Chatas, and when he processes the Ola, that bird becomes the Ola. So there's some level of like interchangeability, like fungibility between these two birds. Okay? And because birds, Ola and Chatas, have that certain level of interchangeability, so Tosos understands, or Rishu understands, that if you treat the Ola as a Chatas entirely from beginning to end, meaning you do it as a Chatas Shvidan, do it L'Shem Chatas, so on, it actually transforms being a Chatas. Period. Now, the case is not that a person brought two birds and didn't designate which was the Ola, which is the Chatas. The case is a person specifically, he didn't have to, but he chose to say, this bird is my Ola and this bird is my Chatas. Okay, and then the Kohen took what was designated as the Ola and treated it as a Chatas. But still, Rabbi Yeshua holds it transforms to being a Chatas, to some degree at least, and the mechanism why that works is because Ola and Chatas birds are to some level interchangeable. Now, what actually happens according to Rabbi Yeshua? So Tosfos has two possibilities. One possibility is not that much happens. It's still an Ola, just a Pasul Ola, but it's transformed enough to a Chatas that it's no longer subject to Me'ila. Okay? The other approach Tosfos has, which is quite difficult to understand, but he suggests maybe it actually really becomes a Chatas entirely because it's treated as a Chatas, and it's not just that it's not subject to Me'ila, it's a Chatas through and through. Merely midoraisa, it could be, you know, it could be eaten, but just midorabanan, it's not to be treated as pasul midorabanan for whatever reasons. Okay, so there's two approaches there. It's difficult. I don't want to explore further about those two possibilities. But that is the case of our Mishnah, and that's the backstory. Now, the way our Mishnah is presented, it's actually much more obscure because it doesn't really reveal Rabbi Yeshua's rationale. That was all Tosfos. Our Mishnah is something that states the case, what happens if you treat an Ola bird as a Chatas, and Rabbi Yeshua is going to say it's not Shavit to Me'ila, Rabbi Eliezer will be such as Me'ilah. Rabbi Eliezer will twice try to prove from logic why Rabbi Yeshua shouldn't hold its position, and twice Rabbi Yeshua will say, your objection, your attempted proofs why I'm wrong don't hold water. Okay, so he'll reject those proofs. He doesn't officially, explicitly establish why he holds it transforms. At all events, the halacha actually follows Rabbi Yeshua, as it typically does. You have a machlokas Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, the halacha will follow Rabbi Yeshua typically, and that's true over here too. So actually, the bird is not subject to Me'ilah. Okay? But now we'll learn the Mishnah inside. The Mishnah will essentially say none of that. What the Mishnah again is going to say simply is, if you treat the Ola as a chatas, that was the bird that was designated specifically as an Ola, so then Rabbi Yeshua is lenient, says not subject to Me'ilah, and Rabbi Yeshua is going to give two attempts to logically prove that that's untenable, and Rabbi Yeshua will reject both those proofs. So let's see that inside here. Ola sa'of. You have a bird which is consecrated as an Ola. She'asa lamata kamasa ha'chatas, l'shem chatas. You did it like a chatas, with the proper kavanah of a chatas, as if it was a chatas, everything done exactly as a chatas should be. Just, you took the wrong bird. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, besides the fact that, of course, it's pasul, Rabbi Eliezer says, molin ba, if after someone would take that pasul bird, instead of it being, you know, burned outside the Beis HaMikdash, instead someone eats that bird, so then he's subject to me'ila penalties as well, besides whatever else he's done wrong. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, ein molin ba. He says, no, if you eat that bird, again, that's no good, you're not allowed to, whatever, but there's no me'ila consequences. So if you did a b'shoga, you wouldn't have to bring a asha me'ilas and the like. Okay. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is going to attempt number one to prove from a kol v'chomer why it should be that Rabbi Yeshua should back down. So the first, this is sort of classic kol v'chomer territory. So here we're going to look in a, if you've seen a kol v'chomer 100 times before, this is going to be 101st. It's going to be just straightforward. If you offer with kol v'chomer, then you're not going to get it. I'm sorry. So the kol v'chomer is like this. On the axis of, on the topic of me'ila susceptibility. So which is the kal, which is the chomer? Which is a, in the word of strictures regarding me'ila, which of the two kinds of birds is kal, the lenient, and which is the strict? So Rabbi Eliezer is going to say the lenient, relatively lenient of the two is the chatas, because the chatas done properly stops being me'ila. They both start being subject to me'ila, but if you do the chatas properly, after the blood's gone on the mizbeach, the bird now becomes Kohen food and no longer subject to me'ila. So it's less intensely, it's a ka, less intensely me'ila prone relative to the ola sa'of, because the ola sa'of, it's from the moment you consecrate it as an ola, it's subject to me'ila, and that will never change. That can never change. So the ola is more strict. And therefore, we have a kol v'chomer, which would suggest that Rabbi Yeshua, his notion of when you take a ola and you botch it and treat it as a chatas, so for sure it should be subject to me'ila. So here is his kol v'chomer. Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Ma im chatas, if you look at the chatas ha'of, she'ein molen ba lishma, if you look at a chatas ha'of, the truth is, if you do it properly, there won't be me'ila anymore, so it's less strict in the context of me'ila susceptibility. Kishishina eshma, when you do it incorrectly, treating it as an ola, molen ba, everyone agrees, even you, Rabbi Yeshua, agree that the chatas treated as an ola will be subject to me'ila. So for sure, an ola, which is more strict in the me'ila category, because shemolim ba lishma, that even if you do it properly, it's still subject to me'ila, never stops to me'ila, it's always me'ila prone, so it's the chomer. So kishashina eshma, when you do it incorrectly, treating it as a chatas, Eino din shi yim aluba. It doesn't stand to reason that it's still subject to me'ila, and it's since it's the more chamor, it for sure should be subject to me'ila, even if you treat it as a chatas instead. That's his rationale. That's his objection to Rabbi Yeshua. It's kind of a classic kol v'chomer. I don't want to probe it any more deeply than that. If you're familiar with kol v'chomer, this is going to ring as a regular kind of kol v'chomer. This would be fine. So now, I'm Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, that kol v'chomer actually doesn't wash, because you haven't got every pirch, every objection to kol v'chomer will be based on the fact that you say that the kal, the lenient, is really not as lenient in every dimension, or the chomer is not really strict in every dimension. So here he says, listen, lo, I reject, that's not a proof, that doesn't disprove my theory that the ola treated as a chatas is no longer subject to me'ila. Why? Ima marta b'chatas, if you want to talk about when it comes to me'ila v'chatas, shishina eshma l'shem ola, when you treat the chatas as an ola, it's subject to me'ila. That's how you botched it. Okay. Shekin shina eshma ledavar sheyesh bo me'ila. Because it started out as a chatas ha'of before you slaughtered it, and it was subject to me'ila. And you're treating it as an ola. So even if it kind of turned to ola, so to speak, it would still be subject to me'ila. So there's no reason why the me'ila should disappear. But tomar ba'ola sheshina eshma leshem chatas. How could you talk about an ola that would be treated as a chatas, since the chatas sheken shina eshma ledavar she'ein bo me'ila, because you're treating it as a chatas, which indeed the chatas, if it's done properly, doesn't have me'ila anymore. So like I'm treating this as a not me'ila, a prone thing. So that's more lenient. That's the thought. That's Rabbi Yeshua's deflection of Rabbi Eliezer's kasha. So Rabbi Eliezer says he gives a second proof, a second attempt to prove why Rabbi Yeshua is not tenable. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua. Vahare kadshe kadshim sheshachatam bedarum. I'll prove to you from a different kind of case altogether. Let's talk about regular zvachim. Okay? So the rule is the chatas, the asham, and the ola. You know, we're talking, let's say, if it's a ram. So a sheep, whatever. So it is going to be done. It must be slaughtered, etc., in the north section of the Azara, or it's puzzle. Now, kadshe kadshim, from the moment they're consecrated, they become seret to me'ila. Okay, whereas kachim kalim aren't subject to me'ila when they're consecrated. Now, after you shecht, let's call it an asham, so we don't get confused. The asham, when you shecht an asham, prior it's subject to me'ila, but afterwards the meat is eaten by goanos. The meat no longer subject to me'ila, so it goes down. But if you shecht it in the south of the Azara, it's pasul. So therefore, as soon as you consecrate it as an asham, it's subject to me'ila. After it's shechted incorrectly, you botched it, but it never stops being subject to me'ila. Okay? Even if you treated it, you thought it was a shlamim, still, it's still going to be subject to me'ila forever because it's an invalid asham. Okay? So, says Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Eliezer says to Rabbi Yeshua, because Vahare kadshe kadshim sheshachtam bedarum, I'll prove it to you from kadshe kadshim, like for example, an asham that was shecht in the wrong place in the Azara. Veshachtam l'shem kadshim kalim, if you shechted it from beginning to end as if it were kadshim kalim, you're treating this thing as if it were a shlamim from beginning to end, for example. Okay? Yochichu, that'll prove to you that changing the name doesn't stop the me'ila situation, because this is really kind of analogous, right? In other words, you have the same way we're talking about an ola bird being shechted incorrectly like a chatas, you're suggesting it should lose its me'ila status, but you agree with me that if you take an asham, which is kachi kachim and subject to me'ila, if you shecht it as a shlamim, which doesn't have me'ila, but it's still, you would agree that the asham shecht incorrectly has me'ila, so it's the same kind of thing. Why should you differentiate between an asham done wrong like a shlamim from a ola done as a chatas? What difference? So he says, Sheken shina shman, if you change its name, meaning you treat the asham as a shlamim, for example, ladavar she'ein bo me'ila, to shlam which has got me'ila on the meat, so molim ba, still, it doesn't matter, still, if you eat that meat, the asham meat to be chayv me'ila, because it's still an asham, it's not a shlamim, who cares if you treat it as a shlamim? So, afata al tisma'a ala ola, so there should be no difference, says Rabbi Eliezer, when it comes to the bird, the ola bird, she'afo pi sheshina shma, ledavar she'ein bo me'ila. It's true, you're treating it as a chatas, which wouldn't have me'ila if it was unright, but it's no better or different or worse than the animal, which the asham treated as a shlamim, shim aluba, that you have me'ila if you eat, that you should have me'ila consequences if you eat the ola treated as a chatas. Okay, and Rabbi Yeshua says, yes, I agree that the asham shechted as a shlamim remains subject to me'ila, but that's not comparable to my case over here. Because you want to know why? Because, and I'll speak it outside first. When it comes to shlamim, so the shlamim, it's true that a shlamim is not subject to me'ila, but only partially true, because while the meat of the shlamim is now edible by the kohanim and by the bialim, but the emurim become, the parts that are sacrificial parts are going to be actually becoming subject to me'ila, because they belong kach Hashem, they become to Hashem's. So treating your asham as a shlamim, you're essentially, even if it would transform into a shlamim, it wouldn't be purely non-me'ila prone, because the emurim are me'ila prone. So it's like partially me'ila. You're going from full me'ila prone to partial me'ila prone. That's not the same as an ola treated as a chatas, because remember, the none of the chatas goes in the mizbeach. So once a chatas, which starts being subject to me'ila, is shechted and whatever, it's there's malika done and it's offered properly. So there's no susceptibility of any component of it to me'ila. So therefore, the two cases are not comparable. The three says inside, he says, I'm the Rabbi Yeshua. Lo, Rabbi Yeshua says, no, I reject, even though I agree with you that a Asham, for example, Kachem Kachem Shechted as a Kachem Kalam, for example, Ashlamim, they're still Me'ila. Imamarta Bekachem Kachem Sheshachtim Bedorim Sheshachtim Lashem Kachem Kalam. He says, I agree with you if you Shechted something Kachem Kachem like an Asham in the south where it's invalid, and you treat it thinking it's going to be like a Shlam, which could be Shechted anywhere in the Azara, but so what? Shekin Shina Eshmo Bedavar Sheyeshbo Isser Veheter. When you treat the Asham as a Shlam, you're treating it as something which has some Isser, that means some Me'ila component, the Emurim, the kidneys, say, and some Heter, some non, the Shlamim has some non Me'ila components, like the rest of the meat. So, but some yes, so it's not pure, not Kachel Hashem, it's not pure non-Me'ila stuff. Tomar Ba'ola, Shashina es Shema Badavar Shakulu Heter, how could you compare that to a Ola, which you're turning into, like, so to speak, a chatas, which, if it's done right, there'd be no me'ila component to it, because a chatas ha'of has no me'ila afterwards at all, once it's offered properly. So you can't bring a rye from that either. And that's the end of the Mishnah. So again, let's just turn full circle around to what I said in the beginning. Rabbi Yeshua doesn't say explicitly what he means, which the Gemara brings out what he says, which is the ola sa'of actually essentially becomes a chatas ha'of, at least partially. Okay? So that's his real rationale. Why? Rabbi Eliezer wasn't getting that from the beginning to the end. So since it becomes a chatas ha'of partially, it's not separate to me'ila. And again, why should that be the case? So I told the Tosfos that says since there's this sort of a fungibility, interchangeability of the ola and the chatas, since you don't have to designate which is which, even though in our case you did. So you see that an ola can somehow turn into being a chatas, at least in part. And two terutzim and Tosfos, what that means, a different Tosfos. Either it means just it becomes a chatas as much as not separate to me'ila, or it becomes a chatas for real, because it can do that. It's just that it's still not, it's possible, but for midrabanan only.